Okay, today's daf is Bechora daf Teva. We're going to start at the two dots at the bottom of Yudalet Amabet, Im Metu Yipadu. So our Mishnah said, our Mishnah had two categories. We're finishing up the first category, which is all Hekdeshim Shekadam Mum Kavua Lehekdeshan. First they had a Mum, then you were Makdashit. So if it died, then the Mishnah says, Yipadu, why Yipadu? Because we talked about it, that normally you'd say it needs Hamadav Haracha in order to be redeemed, and this can't stand up because it's dead. However, we say that this group is not part of Hamadav Haracha. Today we're going to see that there's a range of opinions. I charted it out on the sheet to make some order out of it about what needs Hamadav Haracha and what doesn't. So Rav Yehuda, we start out with Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Zo Divrei Rav Shimon. The Mishnah matches Rav Shimon, okay, which at this point sounds like only Rav Shimon, right? He's the only one that this Mishnah fits in with. How do we know this? That's Rav Shimon, Da'amar. There's a Mishnah in Tmura which says, he disagrees with Chachamim there, and says, Da'amre, Kod Shebizbeach Hayu Bechlal Hamadah Baharacha, Kod Shebet HaKabayet Lo Hayu Bechlal Hamadah Baharacha. Okay, this isn't what he actually says in the Mishnah. We're going to see in a second what he says in the Mishnah, but this is what he means by what he says in the Mishnah. Here they're just paraphrasing. He holds that if you sanctify something, Kedushat Aguf, it needs Hamadav Haracha. If it's Kedushat Damim, it doesn't need Haracha. Right, well, I keep equating these terms. They're not exactly equated. There's Kodshei Mizbeach and Kodshei Bet HaKabayit. Generally, the distinction between Kodshei Mizbeach Kodshei Bet HaKabayit is Kodshei Mizbeach or Kedushat Aguf, Kodshei Mizbeach or Kedushat Damim. I'm sorry, Kodshei Mizbeach or Kedushat Aguf, Kodshei Bet HaKabayit means you're just sanctifying it for use in the Beit HaMikdash. That's only its value is sanctified. So things that their value is sanctified don't need to be actually stood up. Things that that were designated for the Mizbeach do need to be stood up. Ditznan, how do we know that Rabbi Shimon says this? Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kod Shebet HaKabayit Im Metu Yipadu. Because he says it explicitly in the Mishnah there. Now the way it works out is the Chachamim in that Mishnah say, Kod Shebet HaKabayit and Kod She Mizbeach Yikavru Im Metu, okay, which would mean if they have to be buried, that means there's nothing you could do with them, you can't redeem them. So it sounds like Chachamim there saying nothing can be redeemed. Why would that be? Because everything needs Hamadav Haracha. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, Kod Shebet HaKabayit are allowed to be redeemed. Now you'd have to say one more thing, because there's really three categories. There's Kod Shemizbeach, there's Kod Shebet HaKabayit, and then there's our case, which is a little bit in between. Because you took this animal, you dedicated it for the Mizbeach. However, it was a Baal Mum, which means it's not ra'oi for the Mizbeach, in which case it's only sanctified, its value is sanctified. But it's sort of like an in-between. Is it like Kod Shemizbeach, because you dedicated it for the Mizbeach? Or is it Kod Shebet HaKabayit? Is it like Kod Shebet HaKabayit, because it's only sanctified in terms of its monetary value? So now Rav claims, Umod Rabbi Shimon, that Rabbi Shimon would agree at least, in that he says Kod Shebet HaKabayit and Metu Yipadu, but he would agree in our case, V'Baal Mum Me'ikaro Shenifdeh. He would agree that a Baal Mum Me'ikaro, even though it was designated for the Mizbeach, it's more like Bet HaKabayit. So if you look at the chart, right, Rabbi Shimon says, Kod Shebet HaKabayit is Bichlal Hamadav Haracha, would need to be stood up, and it can't be, so you can't redeem it. And Kod Shebet HaKabayit and Baal Mum Me'ikaro are not, and that matches our Mishnah. My time, what's the reason? Where does he get this from? It's very nice categorization. Where does it come from? Damakra Ota. If you remember, we read this here. I told it to you yesterday. It says, Beharicha Kohen Ota, right? Behemida Kohen, right? They first he stands it up when it talks about being redeeming. Then he evaluates it. So, and then it says the word Ota. Beharicha Kohen Ota. So what are they darshan from Ota? Just this. Not anything else. Therefore, what are we going to exclude? Ota lemi ute bamu meikara. Okay, so they're going to say, right, Rabbi Shimon's going to say, the Ota is coming to exclude an additional case. Not just Dushat Bet HaKabayit, Kod Shebet HaKabayit, but also Baal Mum Me'ikaro is excluded from this law. Aval, Chachamim Omrim, and here's a quote from the Mishnah in Tmura. Im Metu Yikavru. Okay, the Chachamim comes, Rav, and he continues to say, and there's Rav Yehuda saying in the name of Rav, that Chachamim in that Mishnah say, if they were to die, even Kod Shebet HaKabayit, they would have to be buried because they can't be redeemed. because they need Hamadah V'Aracha. So now comes Rav and he says, Man Chachamim, who is this Chachamim? Now the reason, if you're going to say, who is this Chachamim, it's because you don't think it's really everybody else. Okay, you're going to say it's really only someone specific, which means, okay, that instead of there being two opinions about this, there's obviously going to be a third opinion. If you look at your chart, there's actually going to be a fourth opinion because there's a debate about what the Chachamim really hold. So Man Chachamim, Tana Debe Levi, who, it's the Tana from the house of Levi, who the Mishnah in Tmura again has Rabbi Shimon versus Chachamim, comes Rav and says that Shitav Chachamim, that which is what? That both Kodshei Mizbeach and Kodshei Beit HaKavayit, which would then also include the Baal Mum Meikaro, all those cases need Hamadah V'Aracha, therefore they're all going to be, any case where one of those animals dies, you're going to have to leave it to be buried because there's no way to redeem it. That is only the Shita of Levi, the house of Levi. How do we know this? Detana de Belevi, Hakol hayu bechlal Hamadah V'Aracha, v'hafilu Baal Mum Meikaro. There he says it explicitly. That's Levi's Shita, that it includes everything. Kodshei Mizbeach, Kodshei Beit HaKavayit, Baal Mum Meikaro, all of them need to be stood up, to be evaluated, to be redeemed. Therefore, as soon as they die, nothing you can do. You can only bury them. There's no way out. And that obviously disagrees with Rabbi Shimon. V'chein tana de Beir Levi b'matnite. They also say it in a, I don't know if this is a Mishnah or in another Braita, afilu chayav, afilu of. Okay, even a chaya, even an oaf, the assumption here is they mean an oaf, like an oaf that can't be sacrificed, which means, right, if he says even chaya, even oaf, we're obviously talking about things that can't be sanctified, which means, right, they can't go on the mizbeach, which would mean that he includes this Baal Mum Meikaro. Then they say to him, v'haktiv ota. So they say, yeah, you're right, ota v'tana debe levi kashe. Okay, we don't really have an answer for that. Fine, so we have Rabbi Shimon, we have Levi. Now we have a problem, because according to Rav, who said, okay, again, remember, we have a Mishnah in Tmura that says, Chachamim say Yikaveru, both Kodshei Mizbeach, both Kodshei Beit HaKavayit if they die. And Rabbi Shimon says, Kodshei Beit HaKavayit don't need to be buried, you can redeem them. And then we assume he means also Baal Mum Meikaro, which then matches the opinion in our Mishnah. Now, therefore, it makes sense that Rav said our Mishnah matches Rabbi Shimon. However, because Rav said that the Chachamim that disagree with Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah in Tmura is really only Tana de Beit Levi, what does that infer? That there's other Chachamim that agree with Rabbi Shimon. So now, if you're going to say that Rav thinks there's other rabbis that agree with Rabbi Shimon, then what should we have said? Aval Rabbanan de Plige Ale de Rabbi Shimon Mai. So now we're going to assume that the rabbis that argue with Rabbi Shimon but disagree, like the, in other words, my hachinami de'imetu yipadu. In other words, we're going to assume that the rabbis who disagree with Rabbi Shimon but don't disagree entirely with Rabbi Shimon, we're going to assume that there's kind of an in-between approach. There's two extremes, right? Rabbi Shimon, who says Kodshei Beit HaKavayit and Baal Mum Meikaro can be redeemed, versus Levi, who thinks none of them can be redeemed. And then we must have these Chachamim who disagree somewhat with Rabbi Shimon, but don't disagree entirely. If they agreed 100% with Rabbi Shimon would be Chachamim. So therefore, it must be they have some in-between position. So now they're going to say, well, if Rav came along and said that our Mishnah is only Rabbi Shimon, then we're going to have a problem. Because if he says, and it's not Levi, well, then what about the other Chachamim? Are you going to assume that the Chachamim that disagree with Rabbi Shimon, we don't know exactly what they disagree about, but Hachinami de'imetu yipadu, you think they're going to say the Baal Mum Meikaro can be redeemed? Ihachi, well then, our Mishnah should have said, well, not our Mishnah, Rav should have said about our Mishnah, Zo divrei Rabbi Shimon u'machlokto. This is the opinion, right? Our Mishnah matches Rabbi Shimon and those who disagree with him. Again, this is a very complicated Gemara because until you get to the end, you can't really see the whole picture. But again, the thing you have to understand at this point, it'll become clearer soon, is that we have Rabbi Shimon on one extreme, we have Levi on the other extreme, and we have this position of Chachamim in the middle. So if we think that Chachamim would say that a Baal Mum Meikaro would, right, that he would agree with Rabbi Shimon, dafka about the Baal Mum Meikaro, that im metu yipadu, because remember, Levi thinks hakol yikaveru, right? Everything needs to be buried. So, and if Chachamim disagree with Levi, maybe they mean that a Baal Mumi Ikaro could be redeemed, because it doesn't need Hamada V'Aracha, then Rav should have said, Zo Devre Rabbi Shimon U'machlokto, and the Chachamim who disagree with him about something, but agree with him about this point. So therefore, right, that's what it Mibayle, it should have said. So Amre, so how do they explain this? They now have to reconcile, they have to find a way that Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Shimon, they agree with Rabbi Shimon about something, but they wouldn't say that Abal Mumi Ikaro Imetu Yipadu. That's going to be our key line that we have to figure out. How could it be that Chachamim agree somewhat with Rabbi Shimon, but don't agree about the Baal Mum case? Because again, as soon as they agree with the Baal Mum case, then Rav would have said, this is Rabbi Shimon and Chachamim who disagree with him about something. Okay? So, now we're going to learn that there's two approaches in Temura to explaining what Chachamim actually say. There's Rish Lakish's approach and Rabbi Yochanan's approach. So the first way is to say, Amrei Rav Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. He holds like Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, who holds that even though I told you that the Mishnah there says the Chachamim say Kol Shem Mizbeach and Kol Shem Bedek Habayit lo have to be buried, right? That they have to be buried. We're now going to say, I said something incorrect before. I said that Levi is Chachamim in the Mishnah there. Not really. Chachamim in the Mishnah there is Chachamim in the Mishnah. Levi is the one who matches, who's clearly disagrees with Rabbi Shimon about our issue. But now they're going to say that the Chachamim in the Mishnah really said something else. Okay, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish understood Chachamim differently. De'amrei le'Rabbanan, and now we're going to see that Rabbanan is the exact flipped shita of Rabbi Shimon. If you look at the chart, it's going to be very clear. When it comes to Kol Shem Mizbeach and Kol Shem Bedek Habayit, he flips it. Okay, what did we say? Rabbi Shimon said Kol Shem Mizbeach needs to have Hamada V'Aracha, and therefore Imetu Yikavru. Kol Shem Bedek Habayit don't need Hamada V'Aracha, and therefore can be redeemed. Chachamim are going to say the exact flip. And that's why when our Mishnah said Baal Mumi Ikaro Imetu Yipadu, that's a case of Kedushat Damim, and since Chachamim have the flip case, and they think only Kodshe Berek Habayit Dafka has to be Hamada V'Aracha, and therefore they're going to say it has to be buried. So let's read it inside, and then you'll see. Rav ke Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, de'amar le'rabanan Kodshe Berek Habayit hayu bichlal Hamada V'Aracha. Dafka, if it's Kedushat Damim, Kedushat Berek Habayit, it needs Hamada V'Aracha. Which is exactly the line that we need. That's why it didn't come out in my printed edition. I highlighted it, but okay. The key is the Kodshe Bedek Habayit Hayu Bichlal Hamada V'Aracha, and since it's Bichlal Hamada V'Aracha, if you look here at the Mishnah, right, our Mishnah says, I put it in the chart, Abal Mumi Ikaro Metu Yipadu, well, according to that, Kodshe Bedek Habayit, which would be the same as Abal Mumi Ikaro, is Bichlal. It's Bichlal Hamada V'Aracha, which means what? Which means, if it needs Hamada V'Aracha, Imetu Yikavru. And that's why he didn't say our Mishnah matches Chachamim. Okay? So, Kol Shem Bedek Habayit Hayu Bichlal Hamada V'Aracha, Kol Shem Mizbeach Lo Hayu Bichlal Hamada V'Aracha, and therefore, Lo Metuk Mamanitin Kerabanan Dekatani Seifa, because in the Seifa it says, Imetu Yikavru. Okay? You can also say that part doesn't match, because the Kol Shem, the truth is, right? I made a mistake. Dafka, when it comes to Baal Mumi Ikaro, I made a mistake, sorry. Rabbi Shimon said Baal Mumi Ikaro doesn't need Hamada V'Aracha, right? And therefore it can be redeemed. And that's what our Mishnah said. Chachamim would actually agree with that, because Chachamim would say, Kod She Bedek Habayit, He would say, Kod She Mizbeach, don't need Hamada V'Aracha, and therefore it can be redeemed. In Kod She Mizbeach, he would actually include Mumi Ikaro. But the issue of the Mishnah that wouldn't match would be the part about the Kod She Mizbeach. Our Mishnah said if it was sanctified and then what happened? You then went along and it got a mum, right? There it says in Metu Yikavru. That matches Rabbi Shimon, because what did Rabbi Shimon say? Kod She Mizbeach need Hamada V'Aracha. And Dafka in that case, Chachamim disagree. Because they say in Metu, right? They say in Metu Yipadu, because Dafka, they say the flip, which is Kol Shem Mizbeach. So that would be the problem. Okay? So then they say, Mimai Daha Metu Yikavru. Now they're going to say, wait, this doesn't necessarily prove anything. Because you could say, okay, now, until now, I've kind of equated these two things. I was a little unfair. Because what did I say? As soon as you say, Anit Hamadav Aracha, then you say, Imetu, right, Yikavru. As soon as you say, it doesn't need Hamadav Aracha, Imetu, Yipadu. But still, and then we got to the problem with the one line. What was the one line right now that's a problem? The line in our Mishnah for Kodesh Mizbeach, right? Imetu yikavru. And what did we assume? Imetu yikavru because it needs hamadava haracha. And since it can't stand up, so it has to be buried. Now the Gemara is going to say, wait, maybe there's a different reason why imetu yikavru. In which case, that answer, that this is why Chachamim said it wouldn't, why Chachamim don't match our Mishnah. Meaning, the rabbis could still say, thank you, the rabbis could still say, Chachamim, Kodshe Mizbeach are not Bichlal Hamadav Aracha, meaning in theory it could be redeemed, but it can't be redeemed for a different reason, and that's why Yikavru. In which case, that wouldn't help our answer. Okay, so, they're going to try to reject it. They're going to say like this. Why do you think those are intertwined? Dilma, maybe it's a separate reason. Who? Meaning, what's the reason? We learned this before also. You're not allowed to redeem hekdesh to feed to your dogs. You can only redeem psulei mukdashim for what reason? To eat. Okay? How do we know this? Okay? Maybe we'll take a break for a minute because that stuff was a little heavy. Let's take a break and I'll go over to the psukim because I want to do this at some point today. If I want to go through, we keep saying that those psukim about basar ta'ava were darshan by the rabbis to talk about psulei mukdashim. I want to show you that inside. Okay, so if you look at Dvarim Perek Yubed, I brought it on the sheet. It starts off, I didn't quote from the very beginning, but Pasuk Yugimel starts telling you, continues, you can't just sacrifice any place you want. We all know that law. You have to bring sacrifices in the Beit HaMikdash only. Pasuk Tebav says, which sounds like Avat Nafshecha, Basar Ta'ava, right? But if you just want to eat meat, well, you can do it any way you want, right? Ki berchat Hashem Elokecha asher natanach b'chol sha'arecha, right? Like, has God blessed you that you have meat? You can eat wherever you want. Hatameh v'atawar yochlenu katzvi ka'ayal. Rak adam lo tochelu, right? But you just can't eat the dam, okay? Etc. Fine. Then that would all make sense. We have Basar Korbanot, we have Basar Ta'ava. Comes Pasuk Kaf and starts to explain, Ki yarchiv Hashem Elokecha ekvucha, Asher diber lach, v'amarta ochla basar, ki taveh nafshecha lechol basar. All of a sudden, as if we didn't just have pasuk tevav, it starts to tell you, well, when God, you know, gives you a lot of space in Eretz Yisrael, and you start spreading around, and you want to eat meat, but you don't want to bring it to the Beit HaMikdash because it's too far, so then, right, then what does it say? Rak b'chol avat nafshecha tochal basar,
Wow,
that seems like the exact same thing. Katzvi kayal, don't eat the blood. Seems very odd, right? What is the whole comparison, katzvi kayal? Because they are not brought as sacrifices, right? So if you want to eat an animal that's generally brought as sacrifices, but you don't want to bring it to the Beit HaMikdash, so you can eat it just like you can eat other chayot that, you know, don't go to the Beit HaMikdash. So now, this is very strange. Why are there these two sections? So in the Sifri, the Midrash Halakha, they darshan that the first section must be referring to something that was sanctified for the Beit HaMikdash, but got a mum. So they say this whole thing, section, is talking about psulei mukdashim. And a lot of what we're going to say today is based on that drasha. Okay? Rav David Tzvi Hoffman suggests a different answer. He says that the difference between the two sections is that the first section is talking about before there's a mishkan. And the second section is talking about ki yarchiv Hashem ekvulecha, and you don't want to make it to the Beit HaMikdash or the mishkan when there is a mishkan. And the first section is talking about before there's even a mishkan. But that's a different possible answer. But that's not what the Sifrei goes, and that's not what the rabbis go. So we're going to, for our purposes, we're going to stick with this. So now, what do we do? So why did I bring this up? Because how do we know, Ein po dimitek deshin lachilan leklavim? Because it says, Rach b'chol avat nafshecha tizbach v'achalta basar. The only reason you're allowed to slaughter this is for the purposes of eating. But you can't use it to feed to your dogs. Okay? So, Therefore, let's go back to our case. In Metu Yikavru in our Mishnah could be, well, once it dies and you haven't slaughtered it and it can't be eaten, well, you can't feed it to your dogs, so the only thing you could do is bury it. But having nothing to do with Hamadah Barakah, in which case, that doesn't really answer our question. So then they say, Amre, Imke, no, that's not it. If the real reason of our Mishnah was Ein Podim Etek Deshan L'Chachan L'Klavim, they should have said, they would have said, even if it becomes a trefa, not just in Metu, but it became a trefa. Because obviously if it becomes a trefa, then in Metu yikavru. So if the whole issue was, since as soon as it can't be eaten, it's a problem, it should have kind of gone to an earlier stage if it became a trefa. So that's not a good answer. So we go back to say this is actually a good answer. So again, how do we explain? This is all to explain why Rabbi Shimon said, why Rav said, our Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon and not Chachamim, when we know the Chachamim somewhat agree with Rabbi Shimon. The answer, the first answer given is, we're going to go with Rish Lakish's interpretation of Chachamim, which you can see is the third thing on the chart, which is that he has the exact flip of Rabbi Shimon, which would mean the Kodesh Mizbeach are not Bechlal Hamadah V'Aracha, which means he wouldn't agree with this line in Metu Yikavru. Okay. Second answer is V'ibayt Eima La'olam Rav Ki Rabbi Yochanan Spirulei. Maybe Rav really holds like Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation of Chachamim. V'tane Zo Divrei Rabbi Shimon U'machlokto. Then we go like Rabbi Shimon, who understands it the way we did before, which is what? According to Chachamim in the Mishnah, it's more the simple reading of the Mishnah in Temura, both Kodesh Mizbeach and Kodesh Bedek Abayit have to be buried. However, he would disagree about the Balmum Me'ikaro case, which isn't mentioned in the Mishnah. Remember, I said the Mishnah talks in the lingo of Kodesh Mizbeach, Kodesh Bedek Abayit. But maybe Balmum Me'ikaro would be an exception. There he would agree with Rabbi Shimon, in which case our Mishnah, which is only talking about Balmum Me'ikaro, would match Chachamim's opinion, because it Metu Yipadu. In which case, what would we say? Our whole problem with Rav was that he said, Zo Divrei Rabbi Shimon. Why didn't he say, Zo Divrei Rabbi Shimon U'machlokto? We simply say, oh, that's what he meant. Okay, that's a bit of a, more of a cop-out answer, but it's a possible answer. Okay, that was the hard part of today's stuff. Okay, now we're going to get to stuff that's a little easier. Im Kidem Hekdeshan. Okay, now we're back to our Mishnah. And our Mishnah, we're now going to talk about the second part, which is, Im kidem hekdeshan, rakol shekidem hekdeshan et mumam. If first you sanctified it, then it got a mum. Or remember that mum over, you had a mum over, then you were makdish, and then it got a mum kavua. Vinifdu, so now what happens? Pturim min habechora umin hamatano. Remember what happens in this case? This is, and this is why I gave you the whole intro, this is going to be the whole section of Psula HaMukdashim, and we're going to darshan it from here. This is a classic case of something that was designated for the Mizbeach, and then became Pasul. Until now we've been talking about something that was never good when you sanctified it in the first place, the Balmum Me'ikaro. Now we're moving to something that was actual Hekdesh. So that's going to have a higher status. So, Minan Emile, how do we know that this is the case? That it's Patur Min HaBechora, this Patur Min HaBechora and Patur Min HaMatanot. So, Ditano Rabbanan, Tzvi, oh, now we're going to darshan the fact that it says Katzvi V'Ka'ayim. Matzvi patur min habechora, af psulam mukdashim p'turim min habechora. Why is tzvi patur min habechora? Because it's a chaya, and din of bechor is only bechor behema tehora. So it doesn't apply to chayot. Just like that doesn't apply to chayot, since we say we're going to treat the psulam mukdashim again. As soon as you say the pshat here is psulam mukdashim, then we can darshan all the stuff for psulam mukdashim. So tzvi is patur min habechora, therefore also psulam mukdashim are p'turim min habechora. Maybe then we just have the word katzvi. We'll say, okay, that exempts you from bechor, but maybe it's still chayav in matanot. Talmud lomar ayal ma ayal patur min habechora umin matanot af psulam uktashim p'turim min habechora umin matanot. Also, matanot is only by chayot. How do we know this? Because it says, forget the exact wording, but it's oshor oseh or something along those lines, right? It says shor oseh. Shor ser behemot, matanot is only for behemot. Therefore, just like, because it says katzvi ka'ayal, from tzvi we learn no b'chor, from ayal we learn no matanot. Okay, you have to remember, what's the issue with b'chor matanot? They apply by non-hekdesh, but they don't apply by hekdesh. And our case is an in-between because it was Hekdesh, it's no longer. So that's why there's this deliberation where to put it. So we learn from Chayot, since it doesn't apply to Chayot, it won't apply here either. So now they say, wait, but Ima Tzvi V'ayal Chelban Mutar, Af Psulei Mukdashim Chelban Mutar. So now, if you're going to compare it to Tzvi V'ayal, then what will we say? Well, the Chelev is permitted, because Chelev of Chaya is not a sur, only Chelev of Behema is a sur. So maybe Psulei Mukdashim, you'll say, if you're going to learn everything from Chayot, so let's say also their Chelev is Mutar. So what are the answer? Talmud Lamar, Ach Chilek. Okay, now what's Ach? It says by, second, where's the Pasuk? Oh, they don't quote it here. Okay. Ach Chilek is from, it's where it talks about the Isser of Chelev. Ach et Chelev lo tochelu. One second, I just have to find the Pasuk. Sorry, it's our pasuk. Ach kasher yachel et tzvi ve et ayel kein tochlenu. Ach means, well, not in a particular way, right? Ach means to say, well, not in this way, not the chelev. Now, why does it make sense to say not the chelev? Because when I set up about the bechor and the matanot, what did I say? If bechor is, if it's kodshim, then there's no din of bechor, no din of matanot. If it's chulin, right? And this is, then it would, and then it would be the flip. And this is in between. But when it comes to chelev, it doesn't matter. Chulin, kodshim, behemah, the chelev is always asur. So it makes sense that you would make this drasha this way, right? It would make sense not to say, all of a sudden, just because we're not going to compare it to a tzvi and an ayil in a way that has nothing to do, right? That would never apply anyway to a behemah. Amar mar, so now they say, wait. Otziyat ha-bachor velo otziyat ha-mateno. Maishna otziyat ha-bachor. Why would you start with, in other words, why was the first drasha was tzvi? Tzvi, Pator Mina Bechorah. Then they said, well, maybe Matanot Yubi Chayav. And then they say, no, Otziyat Matanot from Ayil. So now they say, why did you go in that direction? Maishna. So they say, no. So Otziyat Bechor Shein Shaveh Bekol. The first thing would be to get rid of something that doesn't apply across the board. Bechor is only male. Below Otziyat Matanot Shaveh Bekol. But Matanot are relevant to female animals also. So you might have thought the first one I would get rid of is the one that's already limited as it is. And therefore, that went in that order. Talmud Lamar, Ayil. That's why you need the second pasuk. Comes Rav Papa, and he has a question on this whole line of thinking. Amar le Rav Papa Labai. Ima tzvi ba'ayil ein oto ve'epino noheg, apsulei mukdashim ein oto ve'epino noheg. Noheg bo. So now he says, if you're going to compare it to tzvi and ayil, then what would you say? Well, if we're starting to say anything that doesn't apply to a chaya, it doesn't apply here. So we have the ach to say, well, we draw the line at Chelev. Okay, Chelev is going to be Aser. But now he says, why don't we say Otova Epino also we should exclude? Because remember, Otova Epino is also Shor or Se. Okay, only Behema. So you might have said, maybe Ein Otova Epino Noheg, just like in a Chaya. Apsulei Mukdashim, Ein Otova Epino Noheg. So Amar Leh, Lemay Midamit La. But now he's going to say exactly what I said before, which is, you're going to say Otov Epino doesn't apply in Psulei Mukdashim, like in a Chaya, but now they're going to say, but it doesn't make any sense, because Otov Epino will be applicable. You can't slaughter it and its son in the same day, whether it's Chulin or Kodshim, right? So you're going to say, Ila Chulin, if you're going to say, right, this whole problem is Psulei Mukdashim is smack in the middle between, right? Yeah, let's just put it on the board. Psulei Mukdashim is right in between Kodshim and Chulin, because it started off as Kodshim and now it's Chulin, right? Or it's sort of, it's not exactly, somewhere in the middle. But now, so if you're going to say it's like a Tzvi and an Ayil in the sense that Otov Epino is Ein Noheg, it's a bit of a problem, because Otov Epino is Noheg both for Kodshim and for Chulin. So that's what they say. They say, Ilechulin Otov Epino Noheg Bo, V'ilechodshim Otov Epino Noheg Bo. So it doesn't make sense to compare it to Tzvi and Ayil in a way that wouldn't be applicable, right, that wouldn't be relevant to this particular situation. Right, we're only going to compare it in a way when we're deliberating, is it Kodesh or Chol? We'll say, compare that issue like Bechor or Matanot, which would make a difference if it's Kodesh or Chol. Amarle, Ihachi, Gabe Chelbo, by the Chelev, Nami Neimahachi. Why don't you say the same thing by Chelev? And as when it came to Chelev, what did we say? We said, ach, right? We have a special drasha in the pasuk to say chelev. But now he says, why don't you just use this argument? The chelev applies whether it's kudshim or chol, right? Or chulik. So they're going to say, that doesn't make sense what you're saying, because then the chelev nami lema hamdamit lehu. Il chulin chaban asur, il kudshim chaban asur. El alav, mi amart ach velo chelban, emanami ach velo telpen epino. So now he says, right, you should have said either ach velo chelban or ach velo tov epino. In other words, it doesn't make sense that you distinguish between these two things, and one said ach and one said this. So Rava amar ach lo tov epino hu da'ata. So Rava says, in fact, you're right, really, ach is coming to exclude o tov epino. Okay? So now, what's the problem? What about chelev? Okay? So now, you have to say, v'chelbo midamo nafka. We're going to learn chelev from a different pasuk here. What does it say? If you remember when I read the pasukim, it said, d'chtiv rak et damo lo tochel. Right? Just don't eat the blood. Remember?
That means chelev.
Now, we're going to say the blood, not means also chelev, means chelev. This is going to be a bit strange, right? My damo, what does it mean when it says don't eat the dam? If you're going to say that it means dam mamash, well, then we're going to say what? Right? Wouldn't you assume anyway the dam is going to be like the dam of a tzvi in an aisle? If you didn't have the pasuk, what would you assume? Well, it's at least like a tzvi in an aisle. What do we know about the dam of a chaya? You can't eat any blood of any animals. Atu daman de tzvi va'al mishare. It's going to be asur, even the dam of, right? It's, even in all these cases, the question was, do we compare it to tzvi in an aisle? Do we not? Here, behema is asur the dam. The ayah, the tzvi in the ayah, the chayot is asur the dam. So you wouldn't need a pasuk to tell you that. It's quite obvious that you can't eat the blood. So therefore, el adamo must mean chelbo, okay, the chelev. Well, then they say, the obvious question, v'lichtov rachman chelbo. So then, shouldn't the Torah just have said, if it wanted to teach us chelev, it should have said, raket chelbo, lo tochal, and not raket damo.
You can't eat any chelev anymore. Chelev is also all across the board.
No, it's not by chaya. That's the whole issue. Only behema, not chaya. So that's the whole deliberation. Is it chaya, or is it like a chaya, or is it like behema of kodshin and behema of chulim, where chelev is going to be asr? So they say like this, why didn't it say chelev? So, okay, we would have come to a mistaken conclusion based on number one, the hekesh, and number two, the pasuk. How does this work? Ahane hekesha, we would take the hekesh of the chelev, right? Of the katsvi ka'ayal, to say limiute mekaret. We would say if it said chelev, right? Then we would have said, first, you have the hekesh. It's like it's being an aisle, which means you won't get karet for it. That kind of drops at a level, because there's no isur karet by that. Dechi katav karet al chel chelav behema hu dichtiv. Where it says karet, it's specifically by chelav behema. So we're going to say, well, this is like an aisle, so there's no chi of karet. Shneamar ki kol chel chelav min ha behema, and then it says v'nichrita anesh. And then, if you would have the pasuk that says chol chelav lo tochelu, right, or raket chelav lo tochlu, Ahanekra, that pasuk would teach you lemei kamalei belav ba'alma. So we would say like this. Well, it's similar to the chaya that there's no karet, but it's similar to a behema because it says don't eat the chelev. Well, it's a lotase because it says at the chelev lo tochlu. It sounds like it's a lotase and there's no karet associated. So you would think what if you ate the chelev psulam of kashim, you wouldn't get karet. And we don't want you to come to that mistaken conclusion. So what do we do? La'achayafka rachmana bilshon damo lomar lecha to teach you dafka that you get karet for it. Ma damo b'karet af chelbo b'karet. Okay. So the whole thing right now is just to say that the word right ach is to exclude otov epino, not like the Braita said that ach is to exclude chelev, and raket damo. Lotochlu is really chelbo, and the reason they said damo was so that you know that the chelev is usher karet, and not, don't think that it's somewhat like the chayot and that there's no karet associated with it. Okay, that's a bit long-winded. Okay, now they're going to have a problem with this, because it's very nice Rava suggests this. V'hatana ach v'lo chelbo kamar. But the Braita said, ach excludes chelbo. The Braita didn't say, ach excludes otov epino. So what you're saying doesn't match the wording of the Braita. So he says, hachi kamra. This is the way I read it. Ilu lo ne'emar damo hayiti omer, ach velo chelbo. Achshav shenemar damo, lo tov epinovu da'ata. If the word dam hadn't appeared there, right, the pasuk about the dam hadn't appeared, I would have assumed ach is coming to exclude chelbo. Now that the pasuk dam appears and it's totally unnecessary, we're going to assume the dam pasuk excludes chelev and the ach excludes otov epinov. End of section. Okay, quite a
retroactive reason.
Yes. Okay, and that's how he reads the Braita, even though he didn't say that in the Braita, but that's how he reads it. This is a classic case of something just doesn't make any sense, right? And as you're stuck somewhere and you have to come up with a creative way of reading. Ve'einan yotzin l'chulin. Okay, now we're going to darshan again these psukim about the psulam of Dashim and Dvarim, Perek Yubeb, psukim tefav to kaf, to yutet. We're going to darshan particularly the pasuk, the first pasuk tefav. Okay? How do you know that they don't go out, well, once you redeem them, they still have a level of sanctity to them? So here we go. Menan emile. Detano avanan, tizbach velo giza. Okay, from here we learn you have to slaughter it. You can't, right? If you have to slaughter something, what does it mean? Well, you can't leave it alive and use it for working, for shearing. Basar velo chelev. Okay, it's right, tizbach v'achalta basar, meaning you can eat the basar, but you can't eat the chelev. You can't eat the chalav. I got confused for a second. You can only eat the meat of it, but you can't, remember we learned in the Mishnah, chalban asur, right? You can't eat the milk that comes out of it. Ba'achalta, you can eat it, v'lo l'klavecha, okay, not for your dogs. Mikan she'ein podim et hakodshim, l'achilan l'klavim, that I already told you, right? Okay, ikadamri, but there's some who say it goes like this. Tizbach v'achalta. They don't darshan the word v'achalta to mean below the klavecha. They actually think that you could feed it to your dogs because they darshan it differently. They darshan tizbach v'achalta means ein lecha heter achila ela mishat zibicha va'elach. You can only eat it once you slaughter it, meaning that you can't do anything with it before. It's only slaughter and then eat it, but it doesn't mean that only you can eat it. They don't darshan v'achalta, you and not your dog. They just mean that it has to first, they use the juxtaposition, tizbach v'achalta, before you can do anything with this animal, it must be slaughtered and then eaten, which means you can't do giza v'avodah, but it also means, aval podim et hekdeshin l'achilan l'klavim. In theory, you could redeem it to then slaughter and feed it to your dogs. So there's a debate about that issue. Vladan v'chalban asur l'achar pidyonan. Okay, the vladot and the milk is forbidden even after you redeem it. Hechidani. What's the case of the vladan? This is going to be exactly like we did in the previous case. There's different shlavim here. Okay? So I charted this out at the very bottom of the sheet. Di aber v'idyalid la'achar pidyonan amai. If you want to say it gave birth, it got pregnant and gave birth after it was redeemed already, amai. Why should it be a problem at all? Vlad tzviva ayel minhu. It's just like the vlad of a tzvi in an ayel. Right? So therefore, it's fine. It's mutar legamri. Ella, it must be we're talking about a case, di'aber lifnei pidyonan, v'ityalid l'achar pidyonan. Okay? It must be referring to the case where it says, v'ladan is asur, if it got pregnant before the pidyon, and then gave birth after the pidyon. So then they say, but wait, there's a third case. If it says, this is mutar and this is asur, what if what if it gave birth even before it was redeemed? In other words, it got pregnant and gave birth while the animal was sanctified. Mikdash nami koche. It would actually be fully sanctified. We're now going to learn there's a difference between asur, it's forbidden, right? Which means what? It's asur bahana'a, you can't benefit from it, versus sanctified. So again, you have the three stages. The animal, let's start with the first stage. The animal is sanctified, right? Then it gets a mum. But while it's still sanctified, before you've redeemed it, it gets pregnant and gives birth. That vlad is going to be fully sanctified. We're going to have to understand, maybe not fully. Okay, what does it mean? What would you think it meant? Well, the issue is, can you actually sacrifice it? Okay, we're going to learn that you can't actually sacrifice it. Why can't you sacrifice it? Because it came from a mother that couldn't be sacrificed.
And you can't add levels of kedusha.
Right. Well, it's right. It's already kind of pagumbi. It was dahoy, we say, right? Like we've always talked about dahoy. Once something's dahoy from being sacrificed, it can't be sacrificed anymore. That's how they view this. But it does have sanctity. We're going to have to see what's the difference between that and asur, which is if it got pregnant while it was sanctified, then you redeemed the mother, then it gave birth after, that's going to be asur. And if the whole process of the vlad happened after, then obviously it's fine. So, menahane mile, where do we get this from? There's actually a bit of a debate about what this menahane mile is asking about, but we're assumed they're talking about that the vladot, that they're actually holy, that they're mikdash nami kodshe, detanu rabbanan, zachar, okay, now we're going to a totally different pasuk. We're talking about the pasuk about bringing a shlamim, and it says, im zachar im nikeva, zachar lirabotet havlad, to say that once you sanctify an animal, also the vlad is going to be like it. It's a little strange they use zachar lirabotet havlad, but okay. And nikeva lirabotet hatmura, okay? To teach you that these include, right, the din of tmura is also going to apply, right, that the tmura of that animal will be the same as that. Well, that would only include a vlad that's like the, right, a vlad from a tamim animal. If the animal can be a shlamim, then the vlad can be brought as a shlamim. And if an animal can be brought as a shlamim, then the tmura is. But that's only if it's a good animal. Vladei ba'alei mumim u'tmura ba'alei mumim. What if you have a tmura of a balmum or a vlad of a balmum? Minayin. How do you know that that's also sanctified? Kishu omer im zachar, because there it said im zachar, im nekeva, the im includes lirabot vlad ba'alei mumim. Im nekeva lirabot tmurat ba'alei mumim. Okay, so there you have it, that there's a drasha to include even the vlad of a baal mum, and then what do we say? Well, it's a shlamim, just like its mother was. So then they say, otam vladot shel achar pidyonan matehe alehem, lifnei pidyonan miflag pligi behu. So now they say, right, those vladot, after you redeem them, what do you do with them? So they say, one second, right, so now what we're talking here is about the vladot that the mother got impregnated before the pidyon, and then they were born after the pidyon, so they're asurim. So what do we do with them? So they say, lifnei pidyonan, if they were born before pidyon, miflag pligi behu. Okay, this is exactly what I said. What do we do with them when they're mikdash kodshe? There's a machloket. Ika lamanda amar kodshe likarev. Some people actually say you can sacrifice them. 100%. V'ikalamanda amer kodshe liriya. What does that mean? You remember this is riya. You have to leave it to graze until it gets a moon. Then you can redeem it. Okay? Because that's what it means. It's kodosh. Okay? T'la'achar pidyona matehe alehem. But what do you do if, now you have a real problem. After pidyon, you've already redeemed the mother. But what did we say? This one's sanctified. It doesn't have a mum. It's like a bit of a different stage of the mother. The mother had a mum, but this one doesn't have a mum. And you also redeemed the mother. So now we have a double problem. We'll see in a second. So what does Rav Huna say? First, we'll see the answer, and then we'll see why he gets to that conclusion. Amar Rav Huna, konsan l'kipa v'heim metin. This is like a terrible solution. You put them in a cage, and you leave them till they die. Basically, there's nothing at all you can do with them. Why? Dehechi li'avi, because what can we do? Likravinu, you can't sacrifice it because mikoch kedusha dechuya ka'atu, because they came from a mother who couldn't be sacrificed, and we already even redeemed the mother before it was even born. Lifrikinhu, and it doesn't even have kedusha on it because the mother, not only was she a baal mum, but she was also redeemed, so she's not even kodesh anymore. And now this was born to that mother. Of course you can't. What if lifrikinhu? Why don't we suggest doing redemption, pidyon? Well, what's the problem? Well, you already redeemed its mother. So therefore, lo alime lemit pas pidyonan. It's not strong enough kedusha. This is an interesting way of viewing pidyon. If the mother was already redeemed, and now you want to redeem this offspring of the mother that was born after the mother was redeemed, well, it doesn't have enough kedusha to actually be redeemed. In order to be redeemed, you have to actually have a strong kedusha to it. This doesn't have a strong kedusha because it's such a weak kedusha because it was born to the mother, and the mother was already redeemed. So you can't, like, it's almost like ein pidyon chala pidyon. They don't say that, but you could, in theory, say something like that. Amri b'ma'arava mishmei de Rabbi Hanina. He gives a different suggestion. So the suggestion there is put them in a kippah. Thankfully, someone else came up with a different suggestion because that's not a great solution. In Eretz Yisrael, they say, samuch lepidyonam matpisan l'shem oto zevach. Just before you redeem it, you say, I'm giving... What?
It's the mother.
Ah, yafeh. So that's the question. It sounds like they're saying before you redeem the offspring, which they're then going to say, we just said, you can't redeem the offspring. Then they're going to say the mother. Hold on for a second. Let's say the mother is going to be a shlamim, so you say, I'm making this vlad a shlamim. you know, I want to, I'm promising this vlad to the Mikdash as a shlami. But they say, samuch l'pidyonam, l'meimer d'bnei p'tiyan, that makes it sound like you could actually redeem them. So they say, no. Ela'ema samuch l'pidyon iman, before you redeem the mother, and then it'll still have sanctity to it. What happens? Before you redeem the mother, this still has potential. The problem is you can't bring it as the same carbon as the mother, because the mother couldn't be brought as a carbon. But what do? You say, I'm going to bring this animal. You give it a, you cut, you're makdish it. So even though it's not born, you can makdish it while it's in utero and say, therefore, when it's born, it's already detached from the mother in terms of its kedusha, right? Its kedusha was given to something else. Tamamai, how does this, why is this the case? Now we're trying to explain that if they, if the mother was pregnant before pidyon and they were born after pidyon, why are they asur? Okay, now we're going to learn why, once the mother was redeemed, don't we just say they're like the mother? Okay, why are we going to say they're forbidden b'hana'ah? I'm a Rabbi Levi. Gzera Shema Yigdal Mehena Darin Adarin. This whole thing is a Gzera Darabana. What are we worried? We're worried that if we allow you to use, to get Hana'ah from the Vlad, you'll let the mother live until the Vlad lives. And what's the problem with doing that? The problem is that we're worried, because remember, the mother is Aser Begiza Bavoda. So you basically have nothing to do with this animal. In general, what would they do with the animal? They'd shecht it right away, right? Because what else do you have to do with the mother? So, they'd redeem it, right? No, they'd redeem it, and then they would, right, it still has sanctity to it, so you'd shecht it and eat it. So now, what's the issue? Right, because that's the whole thing. V'zavachta v'achalta. We allow you to eat it. So we want you to shecht it right away, because if you leave it around, what's going to happen? You'll accidentally confuse this animal with some other animal, and you'll start using for giza and avoda. We don't want you to leave the animal laying around. So therefore, we don't want to give you a solution. Oh, you're allowed to, the vlad is okay, because we don't want that to be. We don't want you to leave the animal, and therefore we tell you, you can't use the vladot in order, it's just gzeira derabanan. Ba'amine ravina merav sheshet. Now we just said that what? Before pidyonan, what's the solution? Matpisit for some sacrifice. Ma'usha matpisan l'chol zevach sheyirtzeh. Right? What did we say? You say it's going to be for specifically whatever korban the mother was for. But why don't you just do it for anything? Can you? Amarle ein matpisan. No, you can't do that. My time. Oh, what's the reason? Amarle gamar b'sharecha b'sharecha mi b'chor. Ma b'chor ein matpisan l'chol zevach sheyirtzeh. Dechtiv. Ach b'chor asher yivukar la'ashem b'beima. You can't just choose any korban you want to bring the b'chor for. It's specific korban. Therefore, lo yakdish ishoto. Lo yakdish ishoto. So they learn it from Bechor. Both those cases say Sharecha, and that's why. Lo yakdish ishoto. Right, that's the continuation of the Bechor pasuk. Afhane emat pisan lechol zevach sheyirtzeh. Okay, now we're going to bring a braita to support Rav Sheshet. We'll actually stop here for today, and we'll pick up with this tomorrow. Okay, Rav Sheshet basically says we learn because it says b'sharecha there by the psulei amukdashim, right? You can eat it b'sharecha. And it says by Bechor, you can eat a b'sharecha. And therefore, they learn it was true for Bechor that it has to be a specific korban. Here also, it has to be for the specific korban. The vlad that you're going to eat now is only for the specific korban that the mother was for. You can't just designate it for any korban that you want.